Morning. It's good to be here this morning. Now let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. Thank you for another beautiful day and for the opportunity to come here, Lord, and that we can worship you together. And just be with me as I share here, Lord, that you would speak through me and that I could only share the things that you give me. And just calm my nerves, Lord, and also be with James and Matt as they share as well. Give them peace and bless them. Just bless this service today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about migration of birds, and I know I'm talking about birds again, but there's so much we can learn, so much we can apply to our own lives, that I'm going to talk about it again. If you're bored, you can go outside, but I hope you're not bored. Anyhow, last fall in September 24th, it was one of the peak nights of the fall migration, and there's a website you can go on, it's called Birdcast. And they use radar, and they can tell approximately how many birds are migrating during the night. And I was checking it that night, and I think it was around 9 o'clock. I looked at it, and just over Indiana, there was approximately 40,540,000 birds flying at one time. And to me, that's pretty incredible. Like, there's so much goes on that we don't even think about. So why are birds driven to make such a journey? In the fall, they're going down to the south. In the north, they're coming up, or in the spring, they're coming north. Right now, they're starting. So number one, it's a God-given instinct. No one really knows, what exactly triggers it. But so number one, it's a God-given instinct. But two, maybe they're going for better food sources, especially in the fall here. They go down toward the south because things are disappearing up here. Some of them go for warmer weather, and then I think all of them go to their breeding grounds where they raise their families. But interestingly, about 80% of our birds migrate at night, and that's pretty unique. So what are the benefits of flying at night instead of during the day when it's bright and you can see? For number one, it's easier to avoid predators like hawks or falcons. They're not out flying during the night. So a lot of our songbirds and shorebirds, they're flying during the night to avoid a lot of that danger. And also during the night, the air is calmer and cooler. So it's a smoother flying, and also they're less likely to overheat, because that's, for a tiny bird flying just constantly like that, they can overheat. And an interesting one, there's actually some birds use the moon and stars to navigate. So that's a benefit for them to fly during the night. They can use the stars. And as they migrate, they face so many dangerous things. So one can be bad weather and fog. So if they're caught in a storm and have no shelter anywhere, they can get soaked and probably die because they get too cold. And imagine a bird getting lost in the fog. It could run into something or get lost. And two, another thing they face is, like I said earlier, predators, falcons and hawks and probably even cats during the day. A big one that they face, as our land is getting more populated, the cities are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. A big one that they face is, as they fly during the night, is lights from the cities. Because way back in the day, there were no cities, and there were millions of birds. But now, as they're migrating, there's cities all over. And a lot of these songbirds are attracted to that light. And they'll get drawn down into the middle of a city, and they're flying around these buildings. And sadly, like, they estimate up to 1 billion of them die in the U.S. every year from window strikes. Like, in the cities. Like, these skyscrapers are mostly glass on the outside. So that is a big one for them. Window strikes kill them. Then flying over the Gulf or the ocean, there's one bird called a bar-tailed godwit. It's a shorebird. That bird will fly in the fall. It'll fly from Alaska all the way down to New Zealand across the Pacific Ocean without stopping. And that's like close to 7,000 miles, I think. And it takes about 9 days. There's no rest all the way down there. And I imagine there's some that get so weak they just fall in the ocean and die. Fish will eat them. And also our little hummingbird, little ruby-throated hummingbird. It'll fly from Florida down into Mexico, Yucatan, across the Gulf. That tiny bird can fly that 500 miles in about 18 to 22 hours with no rest. I find that really incredible. So migration is full of some of the most uncertain and dangerous times for birds. And they need to always be on high alert, because there's always something that could kill them. There's something that wants to eat them. But now I'm going to liken it to us. We're all on a migration. We're going from this home, our temporary home, to an eternal home. And we need to be on high alert at all times as well. And why should we be on high alert? Well, I'm going to go through these lists of things that I went through and liken them to us and how they can apply to us. So first of all, sometimes we face storms and fog in our life. Sometimes we go through times where it's just, there's no rest, just Satan's always battering us. But we have a place where we can go. In Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." So we can cry to the Lord, and he hears us. That's what it says. And he delivers us out of our troubles. But we need to have a broken heart. The Lord can't help somebody with a proud heart. But if we have a broken heart, the Lord can deliver us. Sometimes we face things in life, it just feels like fog. You feel so confused, you don't know where to go. Nothing makes sense. But in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So we know that confusion is not of God, it's from Satan. He's trying to wear us out as we're journeying, as we're migrating. And one of our biggest enemies, one of the biggest predators that we face is Satan. But in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We need to be sober and vigilant at all times, because he's always there looking to devour us. In that part, "whom resist steadfast in the faith," in the New Living, it says, "Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." We cannot move against him. When he comes at us, we need to stand strong in our faith. Now, I was talking about the lights from the cities that attract these birds. Sometimes things in this world look so glamorous and bright. Oh, and it just lures us in. But we know that the end of that is death, because we'll find ourselves in all that brightness just going around back and forth until we become one of those birds that hit the window. We'll find ourselves dead at the bottom of that skyscraper, just like that bird. And 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Even though those things look so bright and fun sometimes, if we can just stand strong and not love the world, it says we're going to abide forever. We're going to live forever with God. Now, just as some of the birds fly over the ocean, sometimes it feels like we fly over, or we're in trials that just last forever, just going on and on and on. Feels like there's no rest. But in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Even though that trial is long, we can rest in God. And eventually, we're going to make it to that home that there's eternal rest, where there's no more of those big trials. We need to keep moving or we're going to die. So just as some of the birds migrate at night, there's some verses that talks about abiding in the shadow of God's wings. And as they're flying in the shadow of the earth. That's what we call night. But if we abide under the shadow of God's wings, our life can be a whole lot smoother. And it's a lot harder for Satan to get at us. And I had to think of Job, how when Satan, he came to God, he couldn't just go directly to Job. He had to go ask God for permission because Job was a perfect and upright man. He was abiding under the shadow of God's wings. I'm going to read some verses in Psalm 91. It just talks about that a little bit. It's 1 through 10. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the noise... nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." If we abide under the shadow of God's wings, it says, "There shall no evil befall thee." And that is a real blessing. There's a lot of good promises in that chapter. In another verse, Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about." And the apple of our eye, that's the middle part of our eye. It's so sensitive. We protect that thing like with all we got sometimes. And that's what we're asking God to do for us. Keep us as the apple of your eye. Protect us from all those wicked things. It also says, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings," where the enemies can't overtake us. So, and just like some of the birds use the moon and stars, we have the Bible. That's our navigation for this life. It has all the answers to a lot of our questions. And it tells us how to make it through life. I read this interesting description on migration. I have this plaque in my room that shows a bunch of different paths that different animals take. And there's a column at the bottom, but part of it kind of caught my attention. It says, "It's a journey as long as a pole-to-pole flight of an Arctic tern, as short as a tree to pond hop of a jungle frog. What defines migration isn't distance, but purpose. Travel from one home to another to feed, to breed, and to survive. It's not distance, but purpose. There's some of you in this room who have been converted way longer than me. You might be way ahead of me, but that really doesn't matter. What really matters is our purpose in life, our ultimate goal, where we're heading. So we're all on this great migration, just like the birds, to a new destination. But unlike the birds, we have a choice to choose which destination. And I think God wants us to all choose Him. He doesn't want anybody to perish. That's what His Word says. And I had to think of, you know, how geese fly in a V, and there's other birds that do that as well. But the ones in front are creating lift for the ones in the back. And that's what we need to be for our brothers, is creating lift to make life easier. Because if some of those geese decide to just leave, it makes it harder for all the rest. And we cannot afford to lose anybody here, because we all create lift for one another. And that's what we need to be doing. I have a song I was going to read, and then Johnny's going to play it for me. It's called Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer. Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. It says, when the midnight meets the morning. So when we're in a dark trial, but we come out of it and we see the light again. It says, let us love Him even more. And I think if we allow it, those trials draw us closer to God, and we can love Him more. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go. And at the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. I like that phrase, let the treasures of this trial. And if we allow trials to make us better, I believe that's a treasure. Some trials can draw us closer to God if we allow them to make us stronger. It says, may this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith. And at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake. So may we find all those blessings in this journey, that we can love one another and that we can help one another on. Because we're all, if we're born again, we're all headed toward the same destination. We all want to make it there. So in conclusion, if God can protect and help a bird fly over the Pacific Ocean, I believe He can help each one of us as on our journey. It may seem hard sometimes, but if He can help that little bird, which seems like nothing compared to a person, He's willing to help us. So God bless you.
My spirit stayed ashore. With your